Welcome back to New Rockstars. Spider-Man No Way Home has the table set with a guest list from across the multiverse, if it chooses to do so, thanks to the way Loki and What If are breaking up the Marvel timeline. Is it gonna be pizza time with Toby or not? Well, this is Rogue Theory. It's a show where we pitch the wildest theories and nerdy things that are often not correct, but sometimes are. And those are the only things we pretended we said. I'm Eric Voss. Going rogue with me today are Master Tamen MT.
Hey, what's going on? I'm ready to go rogue.
And comedian and writer and number one Thanos stan, Jessica Clemens.
Don't say that. don't say that. Don't say Thanos.
I don't write. I make comedy and I love Thanos. And that's it. Thanos. Also, prolific gamer and Twitch streamer and good friend of the show, Angelica Trey.
Hey, Trey.
Hi.
All right, guys, another week has gone by, another week without Spider-Man No Way Home trailer to complete our lives. But Loki has opened some portals of possibility to explain how the hell that movie will work. No Way Home is confirmed to include Alfred Molina's Doc Ock and Jamie Foxx's Electro, along with Doctor Strange. Those castings alone suggest we are looking at a multiverse story, but fans are still clinging to hope that alternate Peter Parkers like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield will appear as well. As long as everyone else who's ever been in a Marvel-associated title, from Willem Dafoe to Charlie Cox. Though, thankfully, thanks to Loki, we now have a new word for what those alternate Peters could be. The Big Alive. I'm just kidding. Variants. Variants. They'd be variants, of course.
Yes.
But in order to understand what that would even mean to the Spider-Verse, we still have to figure out what exactly happens to someone when they get pruned. One of the many leftover questions we still have after Loki. Like, is their whole home timeline erased from existence as well when they set that reset charge? Or just the circumstances related to their Nexus event? And when they're taken by the TVA, are they then missing from that home timeline? Could that connect to that set photo we saw from Spider-Man No Way Home of missing children? Is No Way Home going to use terms like variants and TVA to explain where their characters came from? Ultimately, I think the real question is it more or less likely that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield will appear in No Way Home now? What do you guys think?
It's more likely for them to appear. Of course, I'm excited to see some Spidey variants. But in terms of, there's a lot to unpack, right, with what you just said. I previously thought they pruned the entire timeline because of the terminology that they used in Loki, but now I'm thinking, after seeing the end of time and that whole area, there wasn't that much stuff. There really wasn't. So I'm thinking that
there could have been more.
Yeah.
Could have been more stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like five buildings max. So I feel like it was they just take out all of the stuff around the Nexus events, including that pizza car that Owen Wilson, Mobius's character, drove. I think that had a big hand in one of the Nexus events.
Yeah, it's like, is it only relevant evidence in whatever their trial was? One thing would imply, in order to not create some other kind of confusing Netflix paradox. I almost said Netflix paradox. I meant Nexus paradox. You can't just leave timelines without these people in them. Then other things get confused, right? If there's no Loki, if there's no classic Loki, no Gator Loki. I don't want to live in a world without a Gator Loki.
Right? Disgusting.
But I think, like, the implication of the show, like, maybe the writers didn't ask himself this question, is that, yeah, that enough of their timeline was erased. And that the only things that are variant about that timeline are the things that are related to what made it a variant. Therefore, if you did just poop it on down to the void, Eliath would eat most of it anyway.
I feel like we're trying to divide by zero. It's like really complicated. Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
We are.
And maybe Eliath recycles or something too for new timelines.
Yes.
You know, there's, okay. All right, I could see that.
I think he's just hungry. I think he eats entire universes that get pruned down there. I think that's the idea.
Oh, yeah. He's
a cloud.
A puppy. He is just a newborn puppy.
He's a cloud pup. But I think the reason I brought that up is if they decide that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire would be variant Peter Parkers, what would that mean for their realities that they came from? Would it mean that other things can't come from the Raimiverse? Can he be the only variant thing that comes from the Raimiverse? Or could we also see, you know, because we know Doc Ock is coming from there too. Can you have multiple different variants come from the same home universe?
I think that it's possible that we could get multiple variants from, you know, from one universe. I mean, we have the Andrew Garfield universe that didn't technically end, and it didn't, it just sort of ended on its own. And then we got the Tom Holland stuff, but there's a ton of unused elements that they were teasing at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2, but never actually got to. So we could see those elements pop into the MCU through that way, I feel. But yeah, I don't think the Spider-Man timelines, like the Raimiverse or the Webverse, you know, were pruned by the TVA. I think that the ending of Loki probably maybe even started those universes. Like maybe those universes hadn't started yet, and then the multiverses branched out. It's like, okay, now like the old universes that we love, the X-Men universe, the Spider-Man universes, they all start now. And so, you know, then that's when we get those multiversal elements. But I don't know.
I like that idea. I think the cleanest version of this would be once something gets pruned from a timeline, the entire timeline doesn't get pruned, but rather an alternate version of Sylvie takes that pruned variant's place and just makes different decisions. So that way the entire timeline doesn't get pruned. There's just like another young Sylvie that's sitting there on Asgard, not playing with her toys in a slightly different way that doesn't lead to the rise of a king.
She's playing with her Bionicle toys like she should be.
I truly expected them to be gone out of that timeline. Like I just imagine they just reset it, and then the parents were just like, "We never had a child." So,
like a Hermione Granger's parents,
like a wiping of their mind and just being like, "We never had a child." So there's just a timeline
like a Men in Black thing.
Yeah, so there's a timeline where Sylvie just doesn't exist, and the parents were like, "We never wanted children," but they actually did have a child. the child just got taken away.
Yeah, I think that's possible, Jess. I just think that gives too many butterfly effect implications from that. Like, if you just remove someone, even if the people who are in their lives no longer think about them, historically, things get dramatically altered from just one person, especially a significant person as Loki gets removed from that world. Right. So you're right. We both could be, I think the real answer is we are thinking about this harder than the people who worked on the show did.
Well, also, you know, something else I'm skeptical about is that the TVA, they did have some fancy tech, but it wasn't that fancy. I don't know if they can erase memories. All they can do is use their zappy sticks and, you know, travel between these timelines. But to do that full situation where everyone forgets everything in that entire timeline, I feel like that's really complex.
Well, Angelica, we have to remember that Kang did have a nightmare department in the TVA that we never really get into. And that's the realm of the mind. And that's where people's minds go when they dream. So maybe he has some sort of type of influence over the mind. We don't know.
Not all of us only dream in the form of nightmare, MT. Some of us are able to have pleasant dreams.
That's only Stephen King.
One thing that Loki, I think the writers did consider, is the fact that just because someone gets removed from wherever they were in the timeline doesn't mean that that timeline no longer has that person of them there. Mm-hmm. So when Loki got in episode one, gets pruned, or he doesn't get pruned yet, right? He just gets arrested. He gets taken out of Mongolia. But there's still another Loki who's on that timeline, who's living out the Infinity Saga as Loki would have up to the point of Thanos choking him to death. So I think that's the idea of it. Is like once variants get removed, they're just unstuck from time, but there's still a doppelganger of themselves that's still going through the motions of the way they should have. And it's only when that variant started to step away from their, like your Mario Kart ghost version of yourself who you're currently racing. Like there's another version of yourself, but they never showed us this other than episode one. So it really is just headcanon speculation that we're doing to try to justify this.
That's a rogue theory right there. I dig that. That'd be crazy if they just like, all right, here's Robo.
I'm trying to go with like the lamest, most irrational explanation just so we could justify how we could have Toby in addition to Doc Ock and Andrew Garfield in addition to Electro, because otherwise if you say that a variant who's pruned from a timeline erases the rest of the timeline they came from, then that makes it impossible for Toby and Andrew logically to appear, and I don't want to live in that world yet.
Not the same world, but if we are looking at Into the Spider-Verse, we're looking into the animation series where the people did come out of those timelines, they were taken out of their homes and it didn't seem like there was any kind of replacement. So you're I'm not saying these are the two same things, but if what I do realize after being on Rogue Theory a lot and just coming up with my own theories is that like, oh, it was simpler than what I expected it to be. So I think thinking in those terms of like, yeah, they just disappeared. And they were disappeared for God knows how long. It could be, and that's also the thing, it could be 20 minutes to them, what was like 3 weeks in that universe. We don't know what time is going to be looking like completely. So, I mean, I'm not sticking to my guns of like, Sophie's dead. But I just like, it's using that logic, they still just disappeared and their whole mindset was like, I need to get home.
Yeah. The reason I'm sticking at least my guns for the sake of this right now is that I do want like Toby and Andrew and Doc Ock and all these other people to show up in this movie. But I don't want anything to change what happened in the original Raimi trilogy as that history played out. Okay. And like Doc Ock's death at the end of Spider-Man 2 was beautiful in a way. And like, I still want that to be true for that character in his arc in the same way for all these characters.
True.
I don't want to make it seem like now it was retconned in a way.
Okay.
So like, I like the idea of two different versions of them. And then like, he kind of splits into different branch variants of himself so that there's still a Tobey Maguire who went through those three movies. There's still Andrew Garfield who went through those two movies. And now we get separate versions of them who are just kind of confused and they're in the MCU. They barfed in through a portal, but there's still like the version of them that we knew in the heyday of those movies. Like whatever, you know, they were going through in the moment they were plucked.
Okay. More pizza time, I get that. Please. I get that. I feel it.
I recognize I'm probably going to be wrong.
I dig it.
Hey, man, we just speculating, man. This is what Rogue 3 is all about.
We're going rogue.
But can we each of us go rogue now and just like try to conceive of what the simplest sentence that John Watts is going to put in the script for Spider-Man No Way Home that we'll see in the trailer. Like, what are they going to say to try to explain how these alternate universe people are the same? Are going to be like, they're from the multiverse or they're variants? Are they going to be like, sometimes people just come from places? Like, what is it going to be?
Sometimes people come from places. And immediately I go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of right. They do be coming from places, though.
That is true. People do come from places. Voss, that's so stupid.
I don't think they're going to... I mean, they might use variants, but I don't know if they're going to use terms like the TVA No Way Home. Maybe variants, but eventually they'll get to it. It'll be like a ding, ding, ding moment, you know?
I hope that they do sort of what they did in, you know, the Spider-Verse credits with the Spider-Man 2099 and the OG Spider-Man just doing the pointing. Let's just do the three-way pointing. Like, just no words, just three-way pointing. Like, oh my God, it's me!
I really hope they meme it up like that.
In the trailer, I feel like we're gonna get Peter Parker being like, whoa, like Back to the Future? Like something stupid. But I think in the actual movie, because he knows who Doctor Strange is, so I think he's going to be like, so like what Doctor Strange does. Like, I feel like that's the best way that Peter Parker is going to understand what's happening, is he's going to be like, oh, so like they're coming out of holes. Like they fought in Avengers, or the last Avengers movie, so he knows that people can drop from portals. He knows that magic is a thing.
You know what's probably going to happen is that Toby, Andrew, and Tom are probably going to explain what is happening to, like, you know, your Neds or your MJs, but like in the most nerdy way possible, because all three of them are nerds. So they'll be like, oh yeah, no, this is a simple parallel universe, blah, 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 blah. Kind of like with how Peter goes on that rant in Far From Home about like multiverses and all that stuff. Cause they're all nerds. So like they all understand. Yeah. So like, I don't know.
I think it's a good opportunity for a callback to that moment. Like Peter's just like, so you're telling me there actually is a multiverse? I mean, it really does change everything that we thought about the quantum singularity. And then he cuts himself off and he said, someone once told me not ever to apologize for being the smartest one in the room, but I'm sorry.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, so I definitely, cool. I could see Peter being just genuinely confused the whole movie and him being like, what's going on? Like the whole time.
I can't wait until he realizes all of his different variants or his different selves all have girlfriends too.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying like, to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So he's going to be like, wait, I'm actually a Mac daddy? And they're going to be like, yeah, you're actually pretty good at this.
But Andrew Garfield is just like, but one of what mine died.
But mine died. Like Charlie Brown, I got
it
wrong.
All of your girlfriend's spines are intact? What?
Yeah, wait a minute.
But no, you would be crazy because the actress who played Agatha Harkness also played the role of Doc Ock in the Into the Spider-Verse movies. Mm-hmm. So, like, what if
Catherine Hahn?
I don't know why I blanked on her name. Like, literal goddess on Earth.
Kathy,
my friend Kathy. What if we got like a Catherine Hahn variant of Doc Ock in Spider-Man from those universes? Like, just straight up put Catherine.
Let's
Hahn.
Do it.
I would Let's love that because she's Let's already, you know, in the MCU. Like, that would further drive home the idea of variants.
I like that idea so much. The Golden Rogie is going to go to Angelica, though, because I think, honestly, the best way they could do this movie is just have Peter and everyone confused as shit this whole movie. And that way, no one's an expert, and everyone's just like, what's going on? Yes. And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know what's going
that
on.
Way
but
we
have multiple
pretend
Peters
to
here.
Be experts.
Then we'll be the experts.
I'm confused. You're confused. All the Spideys are pointing at each other. And then it's pizza time, rap, credits.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite lines in a movie is in Looper when it's like, it's Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing future and younger versions of themselves, arguing about time travel. And Bruce Willis goes, look, we can be here all day talking about this, drawing diagrams on napkins, and we still won't understand. It's like the best like justification of, look, time travel doesn't make sense. No matter how you argue it, it's just not going to make sense. Let's just move on, please. And exactly. It was great. I was sold. I was sold at that point. Well, we want to start looking at Marvel's What If, which is days away at this point. But a great way to support our channel and all the content we have here is to check out our merch over at newrockstarsmerch.com. You can check out our most recent latest obsession shirt, Bad Company, inspired by the Suicide Squad, which should be out by the time you're watching this. We've only got a limited supply of those, so be sure to grab one before the tiny bomb inside your head explodes. You know, because like Suicide Squad. Go show your support for New Rockstars at newrockstarsmerch.com. Well, we want to thank Wondery for sponsoring this episode. You know who Stan Lee is, of course, and the huge impact he had on Marvel Comics, the entertainment industry as a whole. But what fewer fans might know is that in the early 2000s, Stan Lee was in some financial trouble and on the verge of suing Marvel. Who would do that? Who would sue Disney/Marvel? Just Marvel Comics, not Marvel. Yeah, but the all new season of the Business Movers podcast explores how Stan Lee changed the comic book industry and saved his own career in the process. Each new season of Business Movers, you'll hear how titans of industry rose from the bottom rung of the corporate ladder and what obstacles they overcame on their climb to the top. I'm excited for this podcast and more people to know about the part of Stan Lee's life between when he was dreaming up the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and when he was popping up in MCU cameos in the movies. On Business Movers, you'll find out exactly how a kid from the Bronx born at the height of the Great Depression went on to become a comic book industry superhero. Listen to the latest episode of Business Movers, Stan Lee on Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Wondery, feel the story. We also want to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. Look, we all like privacy, and we especially need that privacy when we're surfing the internet. Well, I hate to break it to you folks, but ISPs like Comcast or Verizon, they know every single website you visit. They talk about it in their break rooms. Mm-hmm. They do horrible things with this information. They might even sell the information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. And more people in the San Francisco Bay Area are just forming lists about you and selling it to third parties. And they create these creepy, hyper-targeted ads for the products that you Googled or just talked about with your friends out loud, and then your devices were listening to you. I'm sorry, I'm really painting a scary picture, but it's not that inaccurate. Well, no matter what your fear is, ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel, a tube, some might say, in the early years of the internet, between your device and the internet. Just you, just your device and the internet. No other people can peep in on your online activity when you use ExpressVPN. It's rated number one by CNET, Wired, and The Verge. It works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. I love how easy ExpressVPN is to use. You just fire up the app, you click one button, you're all set. I just like things that are too simple for me to mess up. It's not like something that takes too much time or active thought on a daily basis. It's just straightforward. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/rogue today. That's ExpressVPN. .com/rogue, and then you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. ExpressVPN.com/rogue. And our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. If you hate swallowing pills, good news. You can get your boners from something that's chewable, just like it says in the name, Blue Chew. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, get hard as a rock, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. You'll be flaccid no more. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Topic number two, folks. What if is coming out in, 5 days at this point? We're super excited. And we know about many of the episodes. Check out our episode of Inside Marvel recently. We gave a preview of the season. But of the episodes we know about from trailer footage and from other announcements, interviews from the cast, I want to talk about which one might be most impactful to the live action side of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. Because we know there's going to be an episode with Doctor Strange. We know there's a Peggy Carter. Do you think it's more likely that we'll see a live action Peggy Carter, Captain Britain or Captain Peggy Carter, whatever she is, or more likely that we'll see like a live action Marvel Zombies or a live action, like whatever variant version of Doctor Strange we'll see in What If?
How fun it would be to finally get the Marvel Zombies. So we have all these zombie movies coming out, right? And we already know that James Gunn is doing great jobs at all these things that he's doing. Why not just throw him this money and be like, hey, do you think you could do Marvel Zombies? And it'll just be like a fun little spinoff. It'll be like to the side. We don't really need to make it canon, but do you know how much fun it would be for James Gunn to have that script and to make this property? And it would be so much fun. And through the little trailer, we see that Bucky is the main, at least it seems like that. Bucky seems to be the point of view for most of it. He's like at least one of the people that aren't zombies. He's just a normal Bucky. And if we do it through the eyes of Bucky, or just one other superhero that has to kill all the other zombie superheroes, I think it would be like zombie movies are becoming so, this is coming from a horror enthusiast, but zombie movies are becoming so much fun and it's so great to like see that mapping for the MCU. So I want to see it. I want to see it. I think we could do it. I think it'd be fun.
Well, we also saw a little bit of zombie hunter Spider-Man, right? Like we saw some sort of hints
a bit in the
them.
Trailer.
Yeah, and then also they released a Lego that was legitimately called Zombie Hunter Spider-Man. So definitely some other stuff going on with zombies there. But then I would feel like if there was a zombie live action, it would then be Spider-Man. I'm not sure though. I feel like they're gonna do a lot of stuff with Spidey. But yeah, I could see that. Some zombies. I could see it also leading up to some Secret Wars type stuff.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, that whole realm of like zombies and vampires is something that the MCU is slowly creeping towards. Mm-hmm. So like I can totally see a Marvel Zombies being implemented into the MCU because like we're getting Blade. And like, you know, I know Blade's a vampire hunter, but like he can't be hunting vampires forever. Like he's got to have some other things to hunt. So like it'd be
zombies?
Cool to see Blade.
Zombies? To see him hunt zombies? Zombies?
Exactly. Blade zombie hunter. That'd be a crazy what if. Like that'd be nuts.
Blade and Spidey team up.
Oh my.
Vampire
Do you know how
zombies.
Annoyed Blade would be with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Like, get out of my face.
Even better. More reason to watch.
Oh my.
Exactly.
God.
But no, I do like the idea of Marvel zombies, but I think that like something that really caught my attention in the What If trailers are those like weird tentacle monsters that Captain Carter seems to be fighting. And we don't know exactly what those are yet, but you know, they really remind me of those tentacled monsters that the Guardians fought in Guardians 2. That came out
The obelisk?
The obelisk, yes. That came out of that portal. And so like that it doesn't seem like a coincidence to me. Like those two will probably end up I think that the tentacle monsters is the bridge for Captain Carter to go to the MCU too. So I think it's probably most likely Captain Carter being implemented more.
That's what I was thinking too. I mean, we have this Doctor Strange episode. The Spider-Man in the show, it's not going to be voiced by Peter Parker, so we'll just have to wait and see. I think there's always a very narrow path for how Spider-Man will appear in the MCU just because it's a Sony-owned character for the time being. But for Doctor Strange, I feel like the Doctor Strange episode will very likely give us some clues on how, you know, what the axis upon which Multiverse of Madness and potentially No Way Home in terms of the character of Doctor Strange will work, like how will function. Are there going to be alternate Sorcerer Supreme that he meets in whatever that multiverse crisis will be? So I'm most curious for that. But MT, I think you bring up a really good point that when it comes to just a character who we didn't expect to see in live action anytime soon in the MCU, Peggy Carter, the fact that like the What If creators have talked about her being a focal character to come back in multiple seasons, I could totally see that character becoming super popular in the animated world, and then Disney doing something like what they did with Ahsoka Tano and Thrawn, and having like characters that we knew as animated characters now playing this huge role in live action, even though Peggy Carter started as a live action character, just using the animated world to just be able to tell new kinds of stories with the character and build up like a fan fervor around them, so that then it's more of like a demand issue as opposed to saying someone who you previously knew as Captain America's girlfriend. No, she's actually, now I understand there was already the Agent Carter series and many of us love that show. But like Disney, for whatever reason, is just like not accepting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter as canon. And I think they want to like kind of reset the character as Captain Carter as already a kind of superhero, so that like we can now see maybe a Captain Britain core version of the character and less of a spy espionage story with her and more of a straight up superhero story with her.
I think Captain Carter, I'm excited, even though this isn't Captain Carter, I'm excited to see where Doctor Strange is What If we'll go to if we're staying as canon as we want to be, because it seems like he's going to be playing a bad person. And so
we got Darker Strange, right?
Like Darker Strange.
He's got his evil mode going on. We've seen some snippets
and
of that.
I feel like that could still be a possibility going forward. And by being evil, I mean being evil as like the MCU sees evil. So like how we saw Killmonger, it's like it's justified. Don't come at me being like, Jessica hates people.
No, we know. Wow, Jessica, we know you're okay,
it's okay. We like a complex villain. Wow. We do.
Yeah, they're a complex villain. And I feel like between, like, Doctor Strange is a person that does follow the rules. Like, obviously, when he was like, I've seen all these possibilities and the only one I see working is one where, like, Tony Stark dies. I think there's going to be a situation in What If where he's working with either a bad person or he's following the rules of a bad person and using his powers for bad, but it's in, like, a really hard to understand villain kind of perspective, which could go further down the series in the MCU. Because again, I think me and MT talked about this. Kang needs someone to work with. And I think someone to work with is either Wanda or Doctor Strange. And so I think there's an alternate timeline or reality where they're using either Wanda or Doctor Strange in like to defeat the other Kangs. So I think this could go to that. We're talking rogue theory, and this is going to be really rogue. It's a hop, skip, jump into rogueness. But I think, hey, that could be why.
I really like that take, Jessica. Yeah. I'm going to give you a sparkle buck because I like your zombies idea a lot. I'd love to see a live action Marvel zombies. And I like this idea of Kang wanting to work with a partner. MT, I also like your take that the potentially these tentacled monsters are either the obelisk. I know before we've talked about the many angled ones before too, but this idea of the obelisk coming from, they talked about them as a trans-dimensional monster, you know, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, the Abelisk would be a type of many-angled one if amongst the race of,
for sure. Species. Yeah. I think that's a great point. So things are all tied up right now. It's anyone's game. But before we get to rogue questions, we want to thank our friends at Upstart. So if you're carrying a credit balance month after month, it can feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt, like when Lady Sif kept kneeing Loki in the groin in a time loop. Upstart can help make that final payment so you can get ahead. By the way, thanks to Upstart, of course, for sponsoring this episode. Upstart is a fast an easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/rogue. That's upstart.com/rogue. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/rogue. All right, time for rogue questions. Our question today is, in the lead up to today's premiere of Suicide Squad, John Cena has been wearing his Peacemaker costume pretty much everywhere. He even wore it to the film's premiere in LA this week. So the question is, what actor in this movie or in any movie should have to wear their character's outfit wherever they go?
Tom Hiddleston, easily. Like, people love him as Loki, especially wearing the horns. Like, Avengers 1 Tom Hiddleston, Avengers 1 Loki, I mean, people go crazy over that man. So I think it'd be fun if he were just walking around with the horns and everything, cape, and just like,
full
just
horns,
doing that.
Yeah.
My brain just jumped to Brendan Fraser from The Mummy for some reason. I feel like he should just always wear. I don't know. My brain just jumped
just
to that.
A
I was
normal
like,
outfit.
Yeah, I was like, okay, interesting.
I was like, it'd be fun to see if we made Harrison Ford dress up as Han Solo, even though he hates it.
Yeah.
Honestly, even worse, put him as Indiana Jones at his age, just running around as Indiana. But I think it'd be fun, and this is staying on the Suicide Squad still. I think it'd be fun to have the woman that's playing Ratcatcher as the Ratcatcher because they're just surrounded by rats. So I think it'd be kind of funny to watch someone that genuinely likes and is just running around with a bunch of rats. It's like the, what is it, the Piper? The guy that would play
Piper?
The Piper. It's like watching that, but just like an anti version of it, like a horror version of it. I think that'd be kind of funny.
I like that. Yeah. I like that idea. I was thinking maybe like Tilda Swinton from the Bong Joon-ho Snowpiercer. You know, where she's got the weird teeth and she's like, she has to like eat the protein bar.
Bugs. Yeah.
Every day, Tilda Swinton has to dress up in a different costume that she wore.
That would be amazing.
Because to see her from Doctor Strange would be kind of funny just wandering around. I'd be like, what is going on?
No one would question it.
No
one would question it. It'd be like, all right.
Is it method acting?
Tilda.
Whatever.
Yeah. Wasn't she
or can
queen?
We say Kate Blanchett has to dress as Hella? Like,
oh my god.
Kate Blanchett walked out of Hella.
She wouldn't be able to walk through doors, Eric.
She
that
wouldn't.
Thing is too big. Yeah. It's just too large.
Also, I would give her my name and number every day I saw her, and she
every
would shoot
day.
Me down.
Oh my god.
She would stab me with one of her daggers.
or Hugh Jackman could be Wolverine all the time with the hair.
Oh my god. I assume he already is.
Yeah, I think so.
Not
he just
Jackman
hasn't extended his claws.
He just has to take off his shirt and just start yelling. Just be like, ah! I don't know.
Grab a cigar. He's just Wolverine now.
There's so many people that I would love to see in their actual outfits. As a from a comedic standpoint, yes. But then in like a genuine one, I would choose Brendan Fraser as well. Brendan Fraser from, wasn't he the Jungle Man, whatever he was when he was
George of the Jungle.
The Jungle Man.
What's his name? Thomas the Jungle. Thomas the Jungle
Person. It's the sequel to the Jungle Book. The Jungle Man.
That's like another country who like tries to do the ripoff of the movie. It's like Thomas of the Woods.
Thomas,
swinging between the trees.
He's just a cryptid.
Watch out
in the
for
woods.
That bush.
Watch out for that bush. He goes, oi, hey.
He's a cryptid. He's friends with the bears of the woods.
I love it. Would I produce it? 100%.
I think we got to get on this. But I'm going to give the point to Angelica Trey because I think Brendan Fraser would look great walking around. I'm so happy to see he's getting cast in everything now.
I know,
yeah, he's
right?
turning around.
We Baby's love a coming.
He's a great guy.
Oh my gosh,
I love Brendan Fraser.
I'm so proud of him. Great bad. Stuff. Yeah, he was really great in what's the show called, the DC one that
Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, he's doing okay great in that. You can't see him.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh. But I'm proud that he's getting work. That's what I'm proud of. I don't care what the content is. I'm glad he's turned back and he's doing everything.
We love you, Brendan Fraser. We love
Brendan Fraser, if you're watching this, I'll still marry you.
Come on the show, Brendan Fraser.
Come on the show,
Brendan Fraser.
Anytime. Come on the show. Well, that makes Angelica our winner today. Woo! Congratulations, Angelica.
Yeah.
Choo-choo. It's the A-Tray. Woo, choo-choo.
That's right.
Choo-choo.
And that's that. That's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank all of our guests, our winner, Angelica Trey, and of course, Jessica Clements and MT. Follow all three of them on their social media. Send them some nice things. Support them and everything they do. And you can support our channel by checking out all of our merch at NewYorkStarsMerch.com. Like what Angelica's showing off our for all time.
Hey.
Looking fly, Angelica. Looking fly.
Jet ski
it
Mobius.
Says, wow.
Wow. Looks great. And you can follow me at EA Voss. You can follow New Rock Stars and subscribe here on YouTube. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Later.